As our very own Reverend Leslie DeWhite, our minister to social justice, and she is going to come and stand before you and proclaim what God has poured onto her to pour out onto you on this morning. So why don't you just stretch your hands to this mighty woman of God right now. Gracious God, we thank you for Reverend Leslie. We thank you for her obedience. We thank you for her faithfulness. And we thank you for what we know you have given her. Lord God, use her to your honor and to your glory. Allow none of us to be the same after receiving this word from her on this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless the Lord, that's your cue. O my soul, and all that's within me. Is that all you got? Is that all you got this morning? Is that all you got? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. God's name is to be hallowed in all the earth. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Has anybody come to praise the name of our God? Hallelujah. Let us pray. Eternal and all-wise God, we thank you for this moment. God, you know everything that's led up to being here in this space, Lord God. Lord God, some of us came running, Lord God, but some of us had to press our way this morning. But God, we came because we needed to hear a word from you. God, we came because we needed to hear a touch from you. God, we came because we needed transformation power from you, Lord God. So do it right now in the name of Jesus. Speak to our hearts, oh God, for you know what it is that we need, Lord God. Speak to our situations, God, because you know what it takes to turn it around. God, speak and do a thing in this place, Lord God, that will heal the people, Lord God, and that will set them free, God. And when you do it, we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor and all the praise. God, we won't withhold anything from you, Lord God. We will bless the Lord, oh, our soul, and everything that is within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. I greet you in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ this morning, and I am so humbled to be able to stand here to bring a word from you from on high. I really want to thank Pastor Lee and Reverend Bill for giving me the opportunity to stand before this flock this morning. Amen. Amen. And so if you guys pray for me, I promise you that God will do a thing, not because I'm worthy and not because I'm qualified, but just because God is good. Amen. 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 Won't you turn with me to the book of Esther? And we're going to go to chapter 4. And if you'll go with me, start with me in verse 10, we're going to go 10 to 17. That's Esther chapter 4, 10 to 17. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. When you found it, say amen. Amen. All right, let's rock. It says, Esther told Hadad to go back and relay this message to Mordecai. All the king's officials and even the people in the provinces know that anyone who appears before the king in his inner court without being invited is doomed to die unless the king holds out his gold scepter. And the king has not called for me to come to him for 30 days. So Hadad gave Esther's message to Mordecai. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't you think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? Then Esther sent his reply to Mordecai, go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Don't eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. And if I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to lift up for our sermonic thought this morning a message called Uncomfortable But Necessary. Uncomfortable But Necessary. So we are in the last quarter of 2019. And before social media was taken over by this Popeye's chicken sandwich craze, amen. How many of y'all had the Popeye's chicken sandwich? I see you. So before the internet was taken over by this Popeye's chicken craze, social media was doing a very good job in reminding us that we're in the last quarter of 2019. And it was such a positive message that was coming out to encourage us to make this last half count. And the reality is that we needed that message because some of us forgot about the goals that we set for ourselves just 8 months ago. Some of us encountered obstacles that caused us to tap out before the clock had run out. And the fact remains that it's much easier to dream big than to stay the course to pursue the dreams that we've dreamed for ourselves. It's no secret that our ability to grab hold of our dreams is driven by the choices that we make. Choices and decisions that are often uncomfortable, but necessary. Some of us said that we were going to be healthier this year. I know I did. Anybody out there? Amen. We were going to be healthier this year. And some of you may be on your goals, but if you're like me, I tried. But see, what had happened was life happened. Things started getting crazy. And before you knew it, the new habits had gone away and you slipped back into your old habits because it was a place of comfort. And if you're like me, you may be scared to look at those numbers because what people don't know, the numbers won't lie. They'll tell you what you've been doing and what you haven't been doing because the change that we sought was uncomfortable even though it was necessary. And I don't care what tax bracket you fall into, we all want money in our pockets, right? Right, and the only way that we get that is that we put in the sweat equity that belongs to the grind. And so whether it's the grind of overtime that pulls us away from our friends and our family, whether it's the grind of entrepreneurship that causes us to invest the little that we have in our resources with intentionality and purposes, or whether it's the grind that's getting more education, because Reverend Felicia, I said I wasn't going back to school. Now, one more time, right? But, you know, the bottom line is that our sacrifices are uncomfortable, but necessary. And as we move into this back to school season, right? We have our kids, then we want them to be successful. We want our kids to have honor roll, but can we start by teaching them the very first lesson that they are gonna encounter some things, but the first lesson that they need to know is that they're gonna have to have the fortitude to power through what's uncomfortable, but necessary. The teachers that they may get, they may not like, but they're gonna have to endure. Uncomfortable, but necessary. The work may get hard, and we may have to make some sacrifices, pulling away from things that we love, our iPads and our video games, right? Uncomfortable, but necessary. Let us start by first being the model, but then encouraging our children, if they are going to succeed, that let's teach them how to be uncomfortable, but necessary. And all of that is relevant, but can we talk about this Christian walk? A Christian walk that requires us to be uncomfortable but necessary. Jesus said, "Let anyone who follows me deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." I don't know about you, but the cross wasn't an easy thing to do. To me, that screams uncomfortable but necessary. So there it is from the start. Being a follower of Christ is calling us to this place of uncomfortable but necessary. We have to lay down our will for God's will. That's uncomfortable. And yet it's necessary. We have to learn to hold our peace when we want to fuss and cuss. Amen. And learn to speak up when we don't want to, when we want to remain silent, because we have to learn how to get through being uncomfortable because it's necessary. And if we want to be Christians, we're going to have to develop the type of faith that pushes us into actions when it's uncomfortable but necessary. And so this morning, I want to introduce you to Esther. And she's a woman. When anybody calls the famous women in the Bible, they call names. You can call Mary, and you can call Martha, and you can call Rahab, but you can't complete that list without talking about Esther, because Esther was the example of what it meant to go through being uncomfortable when it was necessary. She had a faith life that called her into action when it was uncomfortable, but absolutely necessary. So picture this. Esther, She's born, but when she's born, her father has died. Her mother died when she was in labor, and so here she is, this orphan. And her cousin Mordecai takes her in, and they have more, instead of having a cousin relationship, they have like a father-daughter relationship. Anybody know that titles don't define your relationship? Okay, so he takes her in, and Mordecai would make these regular trips to visit her because now she had gone from being an orphan to being the queen. And so Mordecai goes to visit her, and he'd wait outside the gate to check on her to see how she was doing. And this would be the day, though, that this visit would be different. Mordecai got news, corrupt news, of what was going on. He got the news that Haman, who was the king's right man, had an issue that would kill, had issued an order that would kill and wipe out all the Jews in the land. He was devastated, y'all. Y'all know what it's like to receive bad news? At that time, like, he ripped his clothes because he was so devastated. It talks about him putting ashes on his head, and he cried and he wailed. Anybody know what it's like to cry in the midnight hour, to cry and just be desperate for God to come and do something? Yeah, he was hollering. And he wailed, and Mordecai, through Esther's servants, he sent a message going and said, and begging Esther to do something. And this is where Esther finds herself uncomfortable, but she's called to an action that's necessary. And sometimes we find ourselves unable to move in situations. We get paralyzed in fear, not knowing what's going to happen. And I encourage you today that when you find yourself in those situations, you got to begin to remember who you are. Can you tell your neighbor, remember who you are? Remember who you are. Text 4 in verse 14, Mordecai had to remind her of who she was. She was sitting in the king's palace with all these servants, and she had gotten used to living a life of luxury, and she became paralyzed, perhaps in fear, but she had become comfortable in the lifestyle that she was now in. She was an orphan when she was with Mordecai, but now that she's queen, she's uncomfortable, but she's called into action. Too many of us are walking around parading like we're somebody that we're not. We're wearing a mask and we're keeping who we really are hidden inside because it's comfortable. Too many of us are walking around and we're ashamed to be who we are because some of us don't even really understand who we're called to be. Uncomfortable but necessary. We believe the lies that we see on TV. We believe that the bodies that are plastic are really, yeah, we gonna move on. We believe that the car that is his ain't really his. We believe in the house that she boasts, but it's not really hers, it's rented. We believe in the clothes and the jewelry that are being flaunted. Y'all watch Real Housewives? Basketball Wives, y'all don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. We buy into the hype of these appearances of what is on TV, but it's not really. We let people lie to us on social media about what they're doing and what we ought to be doing, but the reality is they ain't doing what they're putting out there that they're doing. We allow music to tell us who we are. The songs that we're rocking to, the names that they're calling us, that's not who we are. And many will say, "Oh, Rev, it's just a song." But if we can sing back lyrics, but we can't quote the scripture of who God is calling us to be and who God has defined us to be, then it's a problem. You got to remember who you are. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Knowing who you are is the key to your ability to act on your faith. Remember who you are. Remember who the Lord made you. Remember where God has brought you from. Remember the God that is the head of your life. The Bible says that you're the head and not the tail. The Bible says that you're above and not beneath. The Bible says that you're the lender and not the borrower. When you are the head, nobody can hold you back. Remember who you are. The Bible says that you are a child of God. When you are the child of God, you have supernatural power and you have an anointing on your life. Remember who you are. You are a masterpiece. You are God's incredible work. Remember who you are. The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Remember who you are. When you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made, you don't have to be bound in shame. You don't have to be trying to rise to somebody else's standard. Remember who you are. You can be free from guilt when you remember who you are, because the Bible says that you're redeemed. Remember who you are. You can be free because the Bible says that you're forgiven and you've already been bought with the price. Remember who you are. Remember that you have flavor and you have swag because the Bible says you're the salt of the earth. Remember who you are. Remember who you are when you're walking in dark places, because the Bible says that you are the light of the world and that your light is on the top of a hill and that it needs to shine and it can't be taken. Now remember who you are when other people want to silence you. Remember that you're God's mouthpiece and that you were created to be proclaim the goodness of God. Remember who you are. Remember who you are, because when you remember who you are, you can stop being a counterfeit Christian. You can stop trying to imitate and duplicate all that the world is trying to tell you to be. You can stop trying to fit in the mock boxes and molds that the world is trying to put you in. Remember who you are, because when you remember who you are, you can tap into the power that God has given you. And that brings me to my second point. Be who God has called you to be, because when you know who you are, then you know what you're capable of. So you have to use the power of your position. So in the beginning, Esther didn't know how to use her position of power. The situation that she was being called into was urgent. And if you remember the text says that the king, she wasn't even allowed to go into the king's presence for 30 days. Because if she had gone into the king's presence before she was called, she would surely die. There was a crisis, and a crisis situation, though, often requires a rapid response, but a response nonetheless. I need you to know that if you are a believer, that every believer has a position of power, and you have to use it. Esther was no longer the orphan, but she was now the queen. She was in a position of power, and all she had to do in that moment was tap into her power. Because from Mordecai's perspective, regardless of the rules, right, her position granted her access to the king that nobody else had. Can we just stop right there? Can we just stop right there? When we talk about being uncomfortable but necessary, when you are a believer, you have access to the king. You have access to power that other people don't have, but you have to remember who you are in order to use the power of your position. So Esther had the title of queen, and there was a shift in her position that granted her access. And she goes from being powerless to being powerful. And in that position, we have to have the power to stand against the enemy, whose only objective is to kill, steal, and destroy. That was the decree that was sitting out by Haman. Her people were getting ready to be wiped out. Her people were getting ready to be murdered. And we can move forward in faith knowing that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask, think, hope, or imagine, according to the power that's at work within us. Use the power of your position. A few weeks ago, you guys know that there were double mass shootings, right? So there was the one in Ohio, and then there was the one in El Paso, Texas. And every time that happens, it never fails that somebody is going to speak out against the church and say, when are we going to do more than just pray? When are we going to do more than just send our thoughts? When are we going to do more than send our condolences? Can I tell you that faith isn't just about belief, but faith is also about action? And what I loved about this story is that people were moved to action, but it made me remember what was happening in the last shooting in Parkdale, Florida. You guys remember that? That was the last mass school shooting. those young people didn't just settle for the condolences. Those people were moved into action. Those people did walkouts when they were threatened. Those people went to go see their congressional leaders when they were threatened and they were told that their voice didn't matter. It took young people knowing how to use their power of position for other people to take notice. And I don't know about you, but all over the nation, there's this sentiment of I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Anybody remember that? Who said that? Fannie Lou Hamer, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. People were protesting. People are uncomfortable. It took an act of outrage for them to even consider calling Congress back together. It had to be uncomfortable for them to speak out in front of the media when they were still in pain after losing a sibling, after losing a classmate, after losing a best friend, but it was necessary. It had to be uncomfortable for these young protesters to be looked down upon and to stand by with adults who were doing nothing. It was uncomfortable, but it was necessary. It had to be uncomfortable for those kids in Texas who were staging a protest to be told that if they protest gun control, they would be suspended from school for 3 days. Y'all remember that? It was uncomfortable, but it was necessary. And I need you to know that anytime that God calls your faith into action, it's gonna be uncomfortable, but it's gonna be necessary. Remember that you have a position of power. And while the fight is not over, because we're still fighting about these gun control laws, we're still fighting white supremacy, there are states that are trying to create legislation to address gun control still for the very first time. There are businesses that were withdrawing from the NRA, but I don't know that that relationship lasted. Businesses that were trying to change their policies on what they were going to sell. But here's the thing, what are the people of God doing? What are the people of God doing in the face of the violation of human rights? What are the people of God doing when it comes to white supremacy? We have to speak truth to power, and it's uncomfortable, but it's necessary. Use your position of power, because when you use your position of power, we understand that it'll take risk, like Esther, but you'll have to leave your comfort zone and take the risk. But anytime you take a step for God, how many of you know that God will take a step for you? Amen. Amen. Let me show you something real quick. Can I get the box? And can I get a volunteer? Or two? Amen. Amen. How many of you all know what a comfort zone is? A comfort zone is a place where you land and you're not really interested in leaving it. Because why? It's comfortable. You're familiar with the territory. You know the lay of the land. Nothing is going to catch you off guard because it's what? A comfort zone. And a comfort zone can be a place where you feel safe because you know what to expect. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever lived in a comfort zone? I don't know about you, but I often don't want to move from the comfort zone when I'm called to get out. Because outside the comfort zone offers everything that inside the comfort zone doesn't. So I'm going to show you an illustration real quick. Can I get two more volunteers real quick? Amen. So Reverend Keisha, you're going to be a basketball player today. And she has some pre-made basketballs that she made all on her own. Go ahead, take them all out. Okay. And do you mind being the basketball hoop? You can stand right here. You can stand over there. A little bit further. All right. And Reverend Felicia and Minister Bruce, you need to be like surrounded by her because you are her comfort zone. So we started off talking about how we have goals and dreams that we want to achieve, right? We have things that we want to accomplish. And Reverend Keisha didn't know it, but she has one goal and one goal only, and that's to get this ball into that basket. Go. No, you can't move. You're in your comfort zone. You're in your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Okay, air ball one. Okay. Oh, air ball two. Don't help her out. Okay, come on. Air ball three. Okay. So You stayed in your comfort zone and you couldn't get to the basket. You couldn't achieve what you were trying to achieve. I need one more volunteer. Come on. Won't y'all give him a hand? All right. You have one job and one job only. Are you ready? Your job is to stop her from getting over here. Are you ready? All right, Reverend Keisha, I need you to step outside your comfort zone if you want to make this shot. Come on, you have to stop her. You got to get in front of her. Okay, try now. Come on. Did she make it? Let me see. She made the shot. And the only way that she was able to make the shot is that she had to step outside her comfort zone. Can I tell you that God wants to do big and extraordinary, amazing things in your life? But the only way that God is going to do it is if you are willing to get uncomfortable, because it's necessary. The world right now needs you. God is giving gifts to you, but you won't activate them because you're scared. You don't know where God is leading you. You don't know what it's going to require of you. But God is just saying, if you'll be willing to step outside the comfort zone, I'll be able to work miracles and wonders in your life, right? Uncomfortable, but necessary. If you were just willing to step outside of the familiar, if you're just willing to stretch yourself, God will do amazing things in your life. But you have to be willing to take one step for Christ. Unwilling, but necessary. When it comes to the story of Esther, I know I slow walked this thing, but I need you to understand that position doesn't mean anything if you don't understand who you are and you don't tap into the power that God has worked inside of you. Esther was a queen. She had the title. She had the people. She had the servants. She had the money. But the freedom of her people rests on what she was willing to do. She needed to take a step and she needed to take a risk of faith. She had to move and be uncomfortable, because it was necessary. The people would have been wiped out had she not moved. The people would have been destroyed if she had not moved. But she had to do what was uncomfortable because it was necessary. I D-double dog dare you today to take a step for God. I D-double dog dare you today to move outside your comfort zone. I D-double dog dare you today to trust God with the plans that he has for you, to trust God with the purpose that he's fashioned you for. There's a whole generation of people out there that need you, but you have to be willing to get uncomfortable because it's necessary. Hallelujah. That's all I got. The message is simply that simple. Get uncomfortable because it's necessary. Our children are dying because we're not willing to get uncomfortable and take back our neighborhoods. Uncomfortable, but necessary. Our government has gotten comfortable doing what they want to do because we're scared to speak up. Uncomfortable, but necessary. The scripture says, for such a time as this, Esther was called, and I did give that decree to you. For such a time as this, you are called to be uncomfortable, but necessary. Hallelujah, all over the church, if you'll stand. Uncomfortable, but necessary. What I love about this story with Esther is that God didn't leave her hanging. There was risk, and even in sitting in a position of power, she could have died. All she had to do was take the step, and God navigated the rest. I wonder how that resonates with you today. I wonder how many of you have heard God tell you to move, but you don't understand, and you're scared because of the risk. You're scared of what people are going to think. You're scared because what it is that you think you're going to lose. But I believe today that God is calling you to be uncomfortable. Why? Because it's necessary. Mordecai had to remind her of who she was. She started off being an orphan, but it was God who sat her in that position for such a time as this. Where is God moving you for such a time as this? Is it you that this word was for today? Is it you that needs to just take God at his word that says, I'll never leave you or forsake you? Is it you that needs to trust God and believe that he who began a good work in you is going to see it through until the time that Jesus returns? Is it you who needs to get comfortable being uncomfortable because you understand that it's necessary? Generational curses in your family are going to be broken because you're willing to be uncomfortable and you understand that it's necessary. Will you take that step? Even if it means that you're going to go from being popular to being ostracized. I don't know what it is, but I double dog dare you to trust God today. Trust God today. We're going to open the doors of the church, but I believe that this word isn't going to return void. And I believe that this word is speaking to the heart and the situation of somebody right now. And if that's you, will you just lift your hands so that we can say a word of prayer? Oh God, our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. God, we thank you, Lord God, that you are mindful of us and that you've called us for such a time as this. God, we hear you calling us forward. We hear you calling us to move. God, we hear you calling us in the midst of our uncertainty and in the midst of our comfort zone, in the midst of our safe places. But God, you are our refuge. You are our shelter. You are the one who's going to go before us. And so God, help us to get uncomfortable for you. God, right now in the name of Jesus, those that have received this word, Lord God, help them to connect to you, Lord God. Help them to know that this wasn't in vain, that this wasn't just by coincidence, it wasn't just by accident, Lord God, but you're calling them to higher heights in you. Whether it's their ministry, God, whether it's their family, Lord God, whether it's situational circumstances, Lord God, move by your power, move by your spirit, Lord God. Give them renewed hope, Lord God, and give them the courage to press on to see what the end will be. God, do it for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And so this is the part where you help me. You help us. Uncomfortable is understanding that we don't have it all together, that we can't do it on our own, and that there is a Savior who is willing to help us. If you're not connected to Jesus Christ and you need to give your life to Jesus Christ on this morning, won't you come?